Well, we learned it when we were children, and we prayed it. God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for the food. You know, but the important part of that is those first words. God is great, and God is good. Now, we know that God is great. The Bible tells us that all power, authority, dominion is given unto Him both in heaven and in earth. That He is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Never leave. He is great. All power is His. But if He didn't care about you, that power wouldn't do any good. So it's not enough that God is great. He has to be good. And when you use the word good in the Bible, it means He is kindly disposed toward you. He is touched with the feeling of your weaknesses. Now, if He only cared about you, but He didn't have any power, that wouldn't work either. He couldn't do anything about it. He could have compassion, but He wouldn't have any power. But He is good. He cares about you, but He's great. He's got the power and the dominion and the authority to do something about it. Our God is great. And our God is good. And guess what? Our God is here right now. Amen? When two or three of you gather in My name, there am I also in the midst. And the Lord our God, in the midst of us, is mighty. Mighty to save, mighty to heal, mighty to deliver, mighty for whatever you have need of tonight. Thank God He's here. Appreciate each of you being here. Well, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to read two verses of Scripture, verse 8 and then verse 17. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. And I am come down to deliver you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Verse 17. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. The book of Acts, chapter 26 and verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds or these chains. So I want to talk to you tonight about almost altogether. So close, so near, not far, almost, within your grasp, within your reach, close enough for you to see it, close enough for you to feel it, close enough for you to almost taste it, close enough for you to reach out and take hold of it. It's right there. You're on the edge. You're on the verge of victory. You're on the threshold of triumph. You're on the very border of blessing. It's almost within your reach. Have you ever been there? so very close to your goal, so close to the victory that you've been desiring, right on the edge of the success that you prayed for and you've desired, you're almost. You ever experienced that? I experienced it through my son who ran cross country in high school. And you that are not familiar with cross country, it's a 3.1 mile race over hill and dale and creek and trail and everywhere. And Steve had prepared all of his junior year and his senior year for one goal. He wanted to be all-state in his class in cross country. In order to do that, you had to finish in the top 10 runners in that final race of the year. Steve would get up and he would go to the golf course in our little town, Hilly Course, and he would run 5 miles every morning. And he would come in before he went to school and have to take bags of ice and put them on his shin because he had shin splints all of his career. And then he would go back that afternoon and run 5 miles again and do the same thing over and over. In the regionals, his team placed, and he was about 10th or 11th, and so he got to go to that final race at state. It was held at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, very hilly course. It was a cold November day. The wind was blowing 35 miles out of the south, and they had to finish the race into the wind. And Steve had prepared for that moment. Everything that he could do to hone his body, to develop his wind, all he has to do is be in the top 10 and he'll be all-state. And as they're finishing that race, I'm standing by the line and I'm counting them. 1, 2, 5, 7, and then there he comes. And he and another boy is neck and neck. 9 runners have already crossed the line. And he and this kid are running stride for stride, step for step. And when they cross the line, almost one step, 31 hundredths of 1 second, and he's 11th. Honorable mention. Almost. So close. You can see it. You can feel it. It's just right there within your grasp. And you missed. We was playing the national championship basketball game when I was president of Southwestern Christian University. We're up by 2 points with 10 seconds left in the game. And they foul our best player. He shoots 300 free throws every day at practice. He has a 93% make rate for his whole 4-year career. 93% of the time, he makes the three throws. Unheard of. They fouled him. Big smile came on my face. Because I know what's going to happen. He stepped up first one, nothing but net. Ready to shoot the second one, puts us up by 3 points, shoots the second one, hits the back rim of the basket, deadens the ball, and it rolls off the edge. Almost. They grab the ball and in 10 seconds go down the court, throw it to a guy, makes a 3-pointer to tie the game, and they win in overtime. Almost. Right on the verge. Right on the edge. But not there. And that's not just true in natural things, but it's true in the Bible as well. Those who were almost. Do you remember Mark chapter 10? Bible said, this guy called the rich young ruler came to Jesus. And he says, good master, what must I do to have or inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. He said, tell me what the commandments are. Tell me what you ought to be doing. And the young man could say, you tell me the commandments, and I'll let you know. I've kept them from my youth up. And so Jesus gives unto him the commandments of the 10 commandments that deal with man's relationship to man. And when he gets through talking about relationship with your fellow man, this young man says, I've done all those since I was a boy. And the Bible says that Jesus looked upon him and loved him. It literally says Jesus looked hard into his eyes. And he liked what he saw. Here is a rich young man with authority and ability. He has morality. He has everything you'd look for in a leader. He's right there on the edge. Jesus looked into his eyes, liked what he saw, loved him with his heart, and said, there's only one thing that you lack to be perfect and complete. Sell everything that you have. Because you see, this young man's problem was not his relationship with men, but his relationship with God. He had a God before God. His bank book was his Bible, and his gold was his God. And one translation says he was holding on to a lot of things, and he was not about to let go. And Jesus said, if you'll take everything that you have, sell it, give it to the poor, you won't lose a thing. You will lay up treasures and riches in heaven, and then you come and take up your cross and follow me, and you'll have everlasting life. It's within his reach. He's right on the edge. Jesus is the living Word standing there, the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, moving into our neighborhood. All the man has to do is to reach out and take hold of the kingdom of God. And he goes away sad, grieved in his spirit, almost. Bible said Jesus was teaching and the Pharisees and the scribes were trying to catch him in his words. And a doctor of the law, listening to him, understood that Jesus was answering correctly. And you know who the doctor of the law is? Those who gave their life totally to the study of the Torah, the mission of the law of God. They adjudicated cases. They knew how to apply the law to bring what was right and what was wrong between disputing parties. He knew the law. And he said, Lord, what is the greatest commandment of all? Jesus said, I'm not the expert. You're the expert. You're the doctor of the law. You spent your whole life studying the law. So you tell me what the great commandment is. The man said, the great commandment is that you love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all your soul, and you love your neighbor as yourself. He said, right, correct. That's the greatest commandment of all. If you keep that commandment, you'll have life. And this man looked at Jesus and said, Master, you're correct. That's right. To love God totally and to love your neighbor as you love yourself, that's greater than the whole burnt offering and sacrificial system. To do that is greater than any sacrifice we could offer in the temple. To love God totally and to love your neighbor as yourself fulfills all that sacrificial system that Moses gave us. And Jesus said, Son, you're right. And you're not far from the kingdom of God. Not far is a long ways off. So close, and yet you're not there. The Bible says that Paul was in bondage on his way to Rome, and he's appeared before the governor called Felix. And Felix had a more perfect knowledge of the way of faith. His wife was a Jewess, and he listened to Paul. He knew Paul was a righteous man. And the Bible said that Paul would come and he would reason with him of temperance and righteousness and judgment to come. And the Bible said Felix trembled. Right there is the kingdom. Right there is the truth.
Yeah.
And you know why Paul preached temperance, righteousness, and judgment to come? Because Jesus said when the Holy Spirit's come, He will convince of sin or temperance, righteousness, and judgment to come. And Paul preached what the Lord told him to preach. And this man is under conviction to the point that he's physically trembling in his body. And he says, some more convenient season, I'll call you again. And he goes out of office and leaves Paul in chains. And he's almost. And they bring Paul before King Agrippa. And he's allowed to defend himself. And he begins to reason of righteousness. And says, look, Agrippa, I know that you're aware of these things. They didn't happen in some corner. And I know that you believe the prophets. And that Jesus is a fulfillment of what the prophets said. And God raised him from the dead. Agrippa, do you believe? And he said, almost. You persuade me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only almost, but altogether, that everyone that hears my voice would be almost and altogether just like I am, with the exception of this bonds and these chains that I'm about. Yeah. Almost. On the verge. on the edge. You're on the border. You're standing on the threshold. You can see it. You can feel it. You can taste it. You can touch. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. It's within your reach. Don't you remember when he came to Nazareth? And he quoted Isaiah 61, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I am the Christos of God. I'm the anointed one that God promised. I'm going to preach the gospel to the poor, open the eyes of the blind, cause the captive to come free. I'm going to bind up the brokenhearted." The whole reason that I came is to fix and to free your heart. You know what he said? "That which I've read in your hearing, today it came to pass." All of your prophecies, all of your promises, everything you hope for and long for is standing in the... It's not words on a paper. It's the living Word standing in your presence. The kingdom of God is at hand. You can reach out and take hold of the kingdom. And they were filled with wrath and threw him out of the city and brought him to the brow of the hill upon which their city was built, and were going to cast him headlong down. Almost... It's within their grasp. And yet they missed it. You see, God wants you to have spiritual fullness. God wants you to be not only almost, but altogether. Amen. God wants you to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. "Those that come unto me, I will in no wise cast them out." He said, "Oh Israel, why will you die?" God doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. He came to seek out and to save that which was lost. He wants you to be saved. Amen. He wants you to be sanctified. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that every one of you will know how to possess your vessel with sanctification and with honor. And may the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it." Amen. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, "I go to the Father, I'll pray the Father, He'll send you another Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth that shall abide with you forever. You know Him because He's been with you. Now He shall be within you. You will become the temple of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you and unto your children and those that are far off, and as many as the Lord thy God shall call. Because if your earthly father knows how to give good gifts unto his children, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? Do not be filled with wine where is excess and debauchery and overflow, but keep on drinking in huge amounts of the Holy Spirit. And you'll not only be filled with the Spirit, you'll be thrilled with the Spirit. And you'll begin to speak to yourself in psalms and songs and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto God." He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. He wants to supply your need. "My God shall supply your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, so that now the blessings of Abraham come upon the Gentiles by Christ. If he withheld not his only son, but offered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him richly and freely give us all things to enjoy?" Oh, hallelujah. Somebody told you God's working against you. No, no, he works in your behalf. If God be for you, who can be against you? He wants you to have spiritual fullness. He wants you to have spiritual revival. Didn't we talk about that last night? Greater, more, abounding. Release, pouring out. Oh, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee? Yea, though I walk in the midst of trouble, I will revive you." That's what he says. "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land." He wants you to have spiritual fullness. You're right on the edge. Almost. You can see it. Some of you have felt it and tasted it. Some of you have touched the blessings of God. It's almost. And the best example in the Bible is this story of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Because you remember what God said to Abraham. I know that your descendants will go down into Egypt into bondage. But I make you a promise. In the fourth generation, I will visit them. And I will do things. I will do two things. I will bring them out of the land of bondage and out from under the oppressions that they can no longer bear. I will deliver them out of the land. But that's not all I'm going to do. I am going to bring them up into a land that is wide, into a land that doesn't belong to them, into a land of their enemies. And in that land, I will give them the inheritance I promised to Abraham, and it will be a great land and a blessed land, and it will flow with fullness of milk and honey. And he did exactly that. He draws Moses out of the waters of the Nile, saves him from sure death, trains him in all the way. I love God's humor. He's going to raise up a deliverer. And what does he do? He lets the Egyptians train the one that's going to be the deliverer. I like that. And Moses is trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And after 40 years of detour and delay, God meets him on the backside of the desert. And the bush is burning with fire, but it's not consumed. And Moses said, I'll turn aside this sea. I'd love to have a fire like that. The fire I had to be a deliverer, it burned me up. I'd like to have a fire that burns, but it doesn't diminish. Aren't y'all? Hallelujah. You know what the Lord's trying to tell Moses? Nothing can diminish me. Nothing can make me any less than what I am. What I am, I am. What I was, I am. And what I am, I always will be. I am that I am.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. No delay, no people, no passage of time can make me or my promises any less than what they were. Because I am. And so Moses comes up out of the wilderness with the name of God on his lips and the rod of God's deliverance in his hand. For God said, with a stretched out arm and a high hand of judgment, I'll deliver my people. I'm going to bring them out. And did he? Yes. And the last plague is the plague of death. And you know the story, the Passover lamb put the blood on the doorpost. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Oh, because look, the blood frees us from the penalty of sin, which is death. And it frees us from the power of sin, which is bondage. But it also frees us from the presence of sin. For the Lord said, when you eat this feast, put your shoes on your feet and get your rod in your hand. For tonight you're going to go out from Egypt and you're going to see the Egyptians no more forever. Oh, hallelujah. And God did just exactly what He said. He brought them out. He brought them across the Red Sea. In fact, the Bible says He brought them on a straight line to Kadesh Barnea, a straight course. And at Kadesh Barnea, stretched out before them, is their inheritance. Everything God had promised Abraham. The land of the Hittites and all those differentites, the Canaanites and the... It's all there. And you remember what they did. They're on the verge. There's no obstacles at Kadesh Barnea.
Right.
There's no flooded Jordan. There's nothing to keep them out. There it is. God says, look, just go up and take it. And every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, that have I given unto you, as I promised unto your father.
Yeah.
And so they send out spies. Remember? And the spies come back, and you know what the report is? It is everything that God said it was and more. It is a good land. It's not like the land of Egypt, that desert, where we had to pump water up out of the desert in the toil of our sweat and the sweat of our brow. It is well watered. Oh, the rain falls and the dew comes up. And the hand of God is upon that land. And it is a wide land. And it flows with milk and honey. In fact, it took two of them to carry one cluster of grapes. Oh, come on. You're looking at me tonight. Can you imagine two grown men to carry one cluster of the fullness? And God said, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Taste and see that God is good. They saw it. They felt it. They touched it. They walked on it. They tasted it. And they came back. And Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able to go up. If God rolled back the waters of the Red Sea, if God gave us manna from heaven and quail by an east wind and water from a smitten rock, if God gave us the Shekinah glory of His protection and He's an overshadowing cloud by day and He's a pillar of fire in the middle of the camp at night. Oh, you know where they were? The desert.
Yep.
You know what they had? Built-in heating and air. Every time they walk through the desert during the day, God protects them with the cloud. They're under the shade. And at night it gets cold in the desert. But there's a pillar of fire in the camp at night. Joshua and Caleb said, if God did all of that for us, there'll be bread for us. It's the breakfast of champions. We'll eat them up. Let's go get it. It's right there. You've seen it. You've touched it. You've tasted it. You've carried it. And the other 10 spies said, but. Those buts get you every time. But there are giants in the land. And they are soldiers and warriors. And we've been a generation of slaves for 400 years. And we became insects and grasshoppers in our eyes and in their eyes also. And instead of willing and obedient, they fell to fear. And unbelief is what the Scripture says. But the word unbelief in the Hebrew means disobedience. Instead of courage and faith, they became fearful. They devalued themselves. We became grasshoppers. They got an insect complex. We're grasshoppers in our eyes. And we're not only grasshoppers in our eyes, we're grasshoppers in their eyes. In God's eyes, you're a conqueror. Almost. And so they fell to fear and disobedience. And they said, Moses, would to God you had left us in Egypt. Weren't there not enough graves in Egypt? Did you have to bring us out to this wilderness where we'll be buried in the desert and no one? Well, and God said, is that what you want? Instead of the fullness, you want death? Okay. Every one of you that are 20 years old and up, that are men of war, you'll never enter that land. You've seen it. You've had the promise of God. You've had the presence of God. You've had the provision of God. For 38 more years in the wilderness, He gave them manna and water. Their clothes did not wear out. They had the provision of God. They had the presence of God. They had the promise of God. They had the protection of God. But they never possessed. Almost. And they wandered, Moses says in Deuteronomy, around the same mountain for 38 years. Till they all died. In fact, you can read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and Paul tells you that was written for an example because God was not pleased with many of them. And they fell in the wilderness because of their fear and unbelief, because they lusted, because they fell to fornication, because they tempted God, because they fell to idolatry, and they spent 38 years griping. Well, the Bible calls it murmuring and complaining. They were going to Canaan like this, looking over their shoulder at Egypt. And He got them out of Egypt, but He couldn't get Egypt out of them. I'm preaching so much better than you're shouting. I know that. And they're on the verge. And they refused. And they died. Even Moses died. Because the Lord said, speak to the rock. And in His anger at the children of Israel, instead of following what God said and speaking to the rock, He smote the rock with His rod. And God said, because of your anger and disobedience, you will see it with your own eye, but you won't enter. And the last scene in Deuteronomy is God taking Moses to the top of Mount Pisgah and showing him what the possession inheritance was. And he saw it. But God buried him there. So close. Almost. You saw it. Some of you walked on it. You carried the fruits. And you missed. And I want to tell you what the Lord told me in this afternoon. Some of you are so close. Some of you are right on the edge of that spiritual vision and victory that God has been promising you for years.
Yes.
That fullness of spiritual experience, that joy that is unspeakable, the love that is shed abroad in your heart, peace that passes all understanding, healing, deliverance, supply, revival, anointing, release, where that you can, because you delight yourself also in the Lord, He gives you the desiring of your heart. You're right there. Almost. And so when Moses is dead, God speaks to Joshua and He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Duh, you think? We just spent 30 days mourning him. Now therefore, you arise. You know what his name means, don't you? Savior. Salvation. Now therefore you arise and you take this generation across into the fullness of what I promised their fathers. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. As I was with Moses, so shall I also be with you. Not one man will stand against you all the days of your life. Be strong and of a good courage and take the land. God said it's right there in every place that the sole of your foot treads upon. You can have it. Except this time they're not at Kadesh Barnea. They're on the east side of the Jordan at a place called Jericho. And the Jordan's overflowing its banks during harvest season. And now there's an obstacle. And what this story tells us is what you have to do to be not almost, but altogether. Not on the verge, but in the victory. Not close, but possessing. And you know the first thing you have to do? You have to put away the mistakes of the past. What kept you out? What's keeping you out? Well, the Bible tells you what kept them out. Fear and disobedience. Some of you don't enter because you're afraid of, some of you don't shout because you're afraid of what somebody's going to say about it. Who cares? Who gives a rip? I didn't come in here to please you. I came in here to please God. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Some of you are afraid somebody's going to criticize you. Who cares? If I'm in the presence of God and I'm living in the fullness of my spiritual inheritance and I'm eating grapes that men can't carry and milk and honey that's flowing from the provision of God, why do I care what you think? Amen. Fear and disobedience. And they lusted. And they tempted God. And after God gave them quail by an east wind till it ran out their nostrils. And water from a rock. And manna 6 days a week and enough on the sixth to last the seven. They had the audacity to say, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? They fell to idolatry. They turned to fornication. And most of all, they just griped. They just murmured again. They murmured against Moses. They murmured against Aaron. They murmured against God. I only have another night left, so just hold on for just a minute. Because the problem, and that's where we are in the church. We're critical about everything. Gripe about the pastor. Gripe about singing. Gripe about it's too hot. Gripe about it's too cold. It's not comfortable. Somebody got my pew. You know I'm telling you the truth. We spend all of our time murmuring and complaining. And if we're not, we're mocking and scoffing at what God's doing. Oh. And we wonder why we don't have any manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We're so close. But we got to put away the things that have kept us out.
Wow.
And you know how Joshua did it? The Lord said, I want you to put the ark of God's glory on the shoulders of the priest. You don't want to be a priest right now. Because Moses said, what I want you to do with the ark of God's glory on your shoulder, I want you to step out in that flooded river. Oh, sure. Just what I wanted to do. You step out in a flooded river, you usually drowned. You have to do it. You guys are looking. You have to do it by faith. And the Bible said that when they stepped out by faith, the waters were cut off. Now, go back and read it. We said the waters opened up. He says they were stacked up from Zeraton, which was called Adam or Adam.
Yeah.
Adam. And then they were cut off from the point where they stood all the way to the Dead Sea. Do you know how far it is from where they're standing to where the city of Adam is? 23 miles.
Wow.
So they had to stand. Stay with me. They had to stand in that flooded water by faith until 23 miles of flood passed them by. You're looking at me. That's an act of faith. And when they obeyed God in faith, God rolled the waters back and dried up the riverbed. And the children of Israel crossed over dry shod.
Yes.
And when they came to the other side, Joshua said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you strong men to go get 12 stones. And I want you to put them over here on the Jordan, on the Jericho side of the river. And then I want you to get 12 more stones, and I want you to put them in the middle of that dry riverbed." Why? Because he said, "In years to come, your children will pass this way." And they'll say, "Dad, Mom, what do those stones mean?" And this is what I want to tell you. You see those stones right out there in the river? That's a grave marker.
Yeah.
I stepped out in fear and disobedience and lusting and tempting and idolatry and fornication, murmuring and complaining. I stepped out in that flooded river, and right there, that's my grave marker. I died. I died to my past. But you see these stones over on the Jericho side? That's not a grave marker. That is a memorial to the living God who rolled the waters back and brought me out of the waters of death and destruction and brought me into the fullness of my inheritance and gave me new life.
Yes, yes.
You got to put away. What's keeping you out? David, be Christ have crucified the flesh. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet it is not I, but it is Christ that lives. You got to put away the mistakes of your past. The second thing you have to do, you have to position yourself under the authority and the lordship of the captain of the Lord's host. Joshua's no coward. He's out walking around the walls of Jericho trying to figure out a way to conquer it. And all of a sudden he sees a soldier with a drawn sword. And the Bible said Joshua whipped out his sword and he charged that soldier. And he said, "Are you for us? Are you for our adversaries?" And that soldier looked at him and said, "Neither. But I am the captain of the host of the Lord. I am the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I am captain of God's army." And Joshua learned something. It's better to be second in command of God's army than first in command of your own. Amen? And the Bible said when Joshua realized he was in the presence of the head of the armies of angels, the Lord said, "Kick your shoes from off your feet. You're standing on holy ground." But there's more to it than that. No, you see, when they knew they couldn't redeem a possession, they didn't have the resources to buy back the fallen possession, they'd take their shoe off and hand it to somebody that had the power to do it. Joshua kicks his shoes off. He says, "I don't have the power. I don't have the resources. I'm leading a ragtag army of servants. There's no way we can get this done. So I give up my power. I give up my authority. I give it to you because you are the captain of God's army and you alone have the power and the authority to get it." Somebody ought to be shouting.
Yes. Good.
Some point you have to present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You have to surrender to His Lordship. Because you know what? This is His church, not yours. He's the head of the church. You're not. And His ways, oh man, that bounced all the way back. I don't have time to stop. But His ways are above your ways. You don't fight battles the way He told them to fight a battle. If I'm going to destroy Jericho, I'm going to build me some kind of a ramp, either out of wood or out of rocks and stone up to those walls that are impenetrable and make me some kind of a way to get up in the city. It's not the way God fought the battle. Because His ways are above your ways. And His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And you have to surrender to His Lordship because He is the captain. He is the head of the church.
Yes.
And the third thing you have to do is you have to bring the power and the presence of God into the camp. Nothing happens until the presence and the power of God comes into the place. When they put the ark of God's glory on their shoulder, between the wings of the cherubim is where God dwelt. That's where the Shekinah glory of His power is.
Right.
And when they brought the ark of God's glory into the camp, when the presence of the Lord came into the camp, and the power of God came into the place, something happened. They're delivered from the wilderness. And all of a sudden, the waters of opposition roll back. And now the Lord said, I want you to march around these walls seven times, once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, seven times, and keep your mouth shut. Well, He did. He told them to keep their mouth shut. You know why He told them that, don't you? They'd been murmuring and complaining for 40 years. Can you imagine what would have happened if He hadn't told them to be quiet? I mean, you know, you've got about a million people and the ark of God's glory is out in front of them and they're walking around the walls. Well, after the first day, there's no grass. And they're bringing their animals with them. Amen. Just use your imagination a little bit. And by the second day, it's worse. And by the they would have been saying, this is a stupid, we thought Moses was dumb. You know, can you, having us march out here in the heat around these walls that are so thick, nobody, this is the stupidest thing. You got to read between the lines sometimes. And the Lord said, be quiet. But on the seventh day, you shout. And on the seventh day, you got something to shout about. Amen. And all of a sudden, God steps out of heaven and He steps on the top of those walls and they didn't crumble. There had been rubble. You couldn't get in. God stepped out of heaven and pushed them straight into the ground. And archaeologies have proven that.
Yes.
He pushed them straight down into the ground. And they go up and conquer because they brought the presence of God and the power of God into the camp. It will reveal the wiles of the Gibeonites. It will destroy the wickedness of those five kings. Nothing happens until the power of God comes into the camp. Because it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Greater is He that is within you than he that is within this world. He'll convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He'll set within the church gifts and manifestations. He not only leads you to salvation, He baptizes you into the body of Christ. He writes your name in heaven. He bears witness with you. He sanctifies you through the truth. He baptizes you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He brings love and joy and peace and miracles and gifts. Oh, hallelujah. And when you bring the presence and the power of God into the camp, then you come into spiritual fullness. Do you want that? What the Bible said when they crossed over, and I close, when they crossed over, the old corn and the old wine ceased. And they started with the new wine and the new corn and the provisions of a land that flowed like God promised. He wants you to have that. He wants you to have the fullness of spiritual experience. He wants you to have the fullness of spiritual supply. He wants you to have the fullness of spiritual... You're right there. Almost. Paul said, oh no. Almost is not good enough. Altogether. Complete. Full. Don't want these chains, but
amen.
All together. Anybody hungry for that?
Come on. Yeah.
You've come into this place over and over. God's given you prophetic promises over and over. God gives you scriptural promises over and over of what He's going to do for you. He's going to bless you with the fullness of spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. He's going to cause all grace abound toward you so that you having all sufficiency in all things.
Yes.
so that you can abound to every good work. Fullness. Oh, 31 hundredths of a second. One step. One shot that rolls around the rim. How close are you? It's right there. You can take hold of it. Father, speak to our heart tonight. Say what I can't say. You said you were standing at the door knocking. And if anyone in the church, Lord, I know we say man, but the word is without gender. If any individual in the church will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto them. And I'll bring that fullness. Fullness. It's right there. I'm knocking. If you'll open, I'll come in. So close. Lord, all together, not almost, but tonight, all together, I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. I want you to stand with me right now. Hallelujah. Right now, you can play, but we're not going to sing right now. I feel kind of alone up here. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to anybody?
Yes.
Is there anyone here that you want more than almost?
Yes.
You're ready to come into the fullness of what God's promised you spiritually? You're ready to come into the fullness of revival? You're ready to come into spiritual experience? You're ready to have the fullness that He promised you? If God's speaking that to your heart, I want you to raise your hand and just kind of wave it just a little bit. You really mean that. Not because I ask you, because that's what God's putting in your heart. Brother Bob, not almost, but altogether. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you? Do you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. If you mean that, then we're going to pray different. And you got to humor me. And you're going to have to respond by faith, not by sight. And so if you really feel that God's... Tell Him the truth. If you really... Lord, I've seen it. I've felt it. Some of you have tasted it, touched it. Some of you have been part of moves of God that you can't explain the glory that you... He wants you living in the fullness. And you'd say, Brother Bob, my heart desires Him. My heart desires that fullness, that milk, that honey. I want to be all together. All together. Then by faith, I want you to do something. I want you to step out of your seat and over here on this side, right here, I want you just to come into the aisle. Just walk over here and stand in this aisle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Bob, I'm serious. I want to be more than almost. I want the fullness. And I want you to come over and just stand in the aisle. Pastor, come up here with me, would you? Just stand right there. Hallelujah. Sister, would you come and stand by him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 I wish I knew everybody better, but I don't. But I need some help, and so I'm just going to ask some people to help me, okay? Brother, would you come? And Brother Rick, would you come? And would you guys just stand here like this with me? Just hallelujah. I tell you what the Lord did. The Bible said Joshua took the ark of God's glory, presence, and the power of God. And he put it on the shoulders of his priests, of his people. And as long as they stood with God's presence and power, the waters will roll back. And the people came across dry shod into the fullness of God. And I believe God's going to do something. He's going to put the anointing, oh, hallelujah, power of the Holy Spirit on these people right now.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
The ark of God's divine glory. The anointing that causes every yoke to be destroyed. And I want you to do something by faith. I want you to get your partner and take them by the hand. And we're just going to stand here and pray for you. And by faith, you're going to start walking. But I want you to believe something. Lord, I'm putting away all the mistakes that's kept me out. I'm surrendering to your Lordship, and I believe you're bringing power in my life. And when I get over here, all the old is gone and the new has come. And I'm coming into the fullness that you promised me. And I'm going to receive in the name of Jesus milk and honey and manifestation. And the full, not almost, but I'm going to be all together. Amen. I want somebody that believes that in faith, that God's going to roll back the waters and bring you into the fullness. I want you to lead the pack and start walking. And we're just going to pray for you. And God's going to bring you into His fullness right now. Obey the Lord right now. Come on, brother. Come on, brother. Lord, right now. Everything that's kept me out. Everything that's held me back. Lord, it's gone in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord. And you're bringing me into the fullness of your power right now. And when I walk through here, the anointing of God's going to come on me in the name of Jesus. And I receive right now. It's all behind me. Lord, we're starting together. You're rolling back the waters. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to receive the anointing and the fullness of the Holy Ghost. I'm coming into a land that flows with your fullness. And I receive right now, by faith, Lord. I step out. And as I walk right now, as I start across, hallelujah, I'm going to believe it right there. Receive it right there in the name of Jesus. Oh, sister, He's going to do it right now. He's going to do it right there. He's doing it. Glory to God. He's doing it right there. Glory to God. Lord, you're bringing me into the fullness. Not almost, but all together. Hallelujah. I receive right there in Jesus' name.
Everything.
Right there
everything.
In Jesus' name. Everything. Here I come, Lord. I'm coming in. It's going to flow with milk and honey. Glory to God. Glory to God. I receive in Jesus' name. Oh, praise God. Right there. Believe Him for it right there. In the name of Jesus. Lord, what I've longed for, what I've desired, what I've hoped for, I receive right now. In the name of Jesus. I walk into your fullness right there. Amen. Sister, receive right there in the name of Jesus. Receive right there in the name of Jesus. It's mine. It's mine right there. Lord, it's going to flow. It's going to flow in my life like milk and honey. I'm receiving in the name of Jesus. I'm receiving in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I let go of the past. I let go of all those other things. Hallelujah. Everything that's kept me out is behind me. And I'm coming in the fullness of your Holy Spirit. And I receive. Oh, I receive right there. It's going to be milk and, oh, hallelujah. Oh, it's going to be milk and honey in the fullness of God born in my soul. Hallelujah. Amen. He's going to do it. He's going to do it, Lord. I believe you roll the waters back. All the obstacles and the hindrances are removed. And I'm going to eat new corn. I'm going to drink new wine. I'm going to have the fullness of what you promised right now. Everything that's hindered me is behind, and I receive in the name of Jesus. Almost and all together. All together. All together. Lord, you know the desire of my heart. You know what I've longed for. And right now, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Joshua's rolled the... Oh, hallelujah. Jesus has rolled the waters back. I'm going to be all together. I'm going to be whole and complete and full and receive in the name of Jesus. It's mine in Jesus' name. It's mine in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I receive in Jesus' name right now.
Lord.
Glory to God. Believe with us. Amen. Believe with us right there. It's flowing in my life. It's flowing in my life. Lord, everything you promised me. Everything your Bible says I can have. Everything you provided, Lord Jesus, not almost, but altogether complete. Whole, healed, delivered, saturated with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I receive it. Everything that's kept me out is behind. And I'm coming across in the name of Jesus.
Lord,
I receive in Jesus' name.
Plans, Lord God.
Hallelujah. All sufficiency in all things.
Lord,
I receive it right now. I receive it right now. Amen. Lord, we believe it right now. The waters are rolled back. The waters are rolled back and we're coming across into the fullness of what you provided. And right there. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, the fullness is mine in Jesus' name and I receive tonight. Glory to God. I walk into the fullness of what you provided, Lord. Milk and honey's flowing. All together. Glory to God. It's all together. It's mine in Jesus' name. It's mine in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Joshua's bringing you in. The Savior's bringing you across. Hallelujah. You're going to possess the fullness tonight. Amen. Lord, we come into your fullness. Oh Lord, I'm asking you like a river to begin to spring up. Lord, release an anointing. Oh, hallelujah. Bring the joy, the fullness of your power, and release that unction and that anointing in our life. Right there in Jesus' name. Glory to God, Lord. I walk into that fullness right now. Almost and all together. Almost and all together.